It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Master Plan World. Welcome to our latest podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to have you all out there listening. I'm, as ever, Chloe Thomas, creator of the E-commerce Master Plan, author, speaker, and consultant. And as you all know, hopefully by now, I focus on e-commerce business strategy and marketing. This week's guest I found when he joined our E-commerce Master Plan Facebook group and started sharing some awesome content about what he's learned in building his e-commerce business. So I just had to get him on the show. If you want to be part of that group, then joining it is totally free. Just head to ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook or search on Facebook for the E-commerce Master Plan World group. Lots and lots of discussion going on in there and lots of great content being shared too. I hope to see you in there soon. Now, let me introduce you to that special guest I found right there in the Facebook group. Tom Hunt is in charge of growth at Stitch Leggings, a business which sells leggings for men, if you ever thought that was possible. They launched in December 2012 and in March 2017 had their best month yet, turning over £5,000. Now, Tom has also recently launched a SaaS business called Sneeze, without an E on the end. And to publicise Sneeze, him and his team set themselves a pretty remarkable challenge, which is to get Stitch Leggings up to £100,000 per month. For those of you who missed the number earlier, in March 2017, they did £5,000, which was their best yet. So I'm really looking forward to finding out, along with the rest of you, how Tom and his team are going about this. So hello, Tom.
Hello, Chloe. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's great to have you on here. I've just given our listeners a super quick overview of you, your businesses, and the challenge you've recently set yourself. But before we get really into the nitty-gritty of the challenge, how did you get started off in e-commerce?
So we got started off in brick and mortar commerce because, and this is quite a funny story actually.
Excellent.
It was 2012, end of 2012, and me and my two best friends worked either in recruitment or consulting. And we always used to go to Brick Lane Market in London. It's like a trendy market in the east of the city. And we used to go there on a Sunday because we lived close by. And we always used to feel these really pretty girls on the market. And so we had this not evil plan, we had this cunning plan that stated if we had a market stall on the market, because we never used to speak to the pretty girls because we were too shy, if we had a market stall on the market, we would be able to speak to the pretty girls. So that was a theory. And then the question was, okay, what can we sell? At the time, we were passionate about skinny jeans. We were like, okay, let's try leggings for men because we at some point wore leggings and they were comfortable. So we literally decided this one Sunday, and then the following Sunday we had a market stall on Brick Lane Market with female leggings we'd purchased from eBay, drew on our male logo, and we're trying to sell them on Brick Lane Market. So my question to you is, Chloe, how many pairs out of the 18 do you think we sold in the 8 hours of freezing cold selling on Brick Lane Market?
I would imagine it'd be quite a hard sell even in Brick Lane Market. Maybe three pairs?
We sold zero pairs.
Oh, no. Did you at least learn something, though?
I don't think we learned anything. Well, we did have fun. I think we learned that we enjoyed doing something together, right? So Three months later, we actually got real male leggings designed and shipped over from Shanghai. And 3 months later, we started an e-commerce store selling the male leggings in March 2013. And I guess ever since then, we've just been sort of slowly growing and slowly sort of learning how the e-commerce game works. And that has taken us through Dragon's Den. It's taken us to be featured on the Mail Online. It's taken us to an in-person meeting with Top Man. And that brings us up to today where we are at the moment.
Okay, cool. A couple of things I want to go back on there. First off, I often say to people who've got a new product idea, go and get a market stall, even if you're not selling, and get some feedback. Mm-hmm. Now, if I was following my own advice and I'd done what you did, I wouldn't have bothered following it through any further. So what made you think it was still a goer, even though you sold nothing?
There's two things. A, we had fun. Mm-hmm. And B, the cost. Like, whenever making any decision, you understand the potential downside. Mm-hmm. And so our potential downside was a couple of hundred pounds each, right? We just had to get some male leggings designed to send over. And then we had to pay like $20 a month for an e-commerce platform. So the cost was actually very little. And at the same time, we knew that we would learn stuff by taking the action anyway. So yes, we weren't that confident in the idea, I guess, but we knew we'd have fun and we knew we would learn and we knew the downside was actually quite small.
Got you. So it was like a worst case scenario, we learn a lot and we do it better next time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool. Okay. Okay, two other quick things to cover off then. Dragon's Den, did you get money or not?
Unfortunately not. We can put there's a 2-minute clip on YouTube showing the highlights from the pitch, which actually ended up being like a bit of a demolition from their side. It's pretty brutal. So no, we didn't.
Awesome. Well, if you send me that link, I will put in the show notes so everybody can have a watch, but we won't get any deeper into Dragon's Den now because that sounds like it might be a painful memory. Yes. And then Top Man. For those of you overseas who haven't heard of Top Man, it's kind of like the number one fast fashion men's clothing shop in the UK. So how did you manage to get sitting down with them to talk about your product?
So it was one of we divide the tasks between the three of us. One of my good friends is responsible for business development. We found the male legwear buyer on LinkedIn and then just kept hounding him. I eventually got the in-person meeting. The problem was that I was on holiday in the US, and so my two colleagues had to go to the meeting. And then it was quite clear that we didn't know what we were talking about. They're asking the questions about like importing and manufacturing that we really had no idea about. So we haven't closed that deal yet. Maybe we will in the future.
No, it's still quite impressive. I like the tenacity, the belligerence there of we just kept going at it till we got that meeting. So I think you have to do that sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just tick off a couple of the bits about the business and then we'll really get into the challenge. So you're clearly in the UK. Are you selling only to the UK or are you selling overseas as well?
Since day one, we sold worldwide. 50% sales come from UK, 30% US, and the rest, the remaining 20% rest of the world.
Okay, cool. And we've done the product, but you're on the Shopify platform, is that right?
So we started off on Moonfruit, which was, I don't like saying bad things about anybody, but it wasn't very good. And so only since January 2016 have we been on Shopify, but like so much better.
Wow, so quite new to the Shopify platform.
Relatively new, but I kind of feel like I've not mastered it. But yeah, I kind of feel like I have a good grasp of how it works.
Cool. And are there any key plugins you've got in your Shopify store?
Yeah, I should get that open. I like, we use Klaviyo for all of our abandoned car email stuff, which I think is really good. We use OptiMonk for exit intent pop-ups, which is also working quite well. We use this tool called Sneeze, which at some point, which we actually built ourselves, but I won't talk about that now.
Oh, no, that's okay. Tell us what Sneeze does.
Basically, we built the legging store by getting our customers to share after they bought, because we had no idea how to find customers on the internet, and we built this strong sort of mission. So when customers did buy, they wanted to share that with their friends. And so it basically meant we're chasing customers to share and then taking that content and then posting that on our social media channels or putting on our product pages for increased social proof. And that's how we grew in the early days. But it was our virtual assistant manager doing all of that manual work. So what Sneeze does, it just automates the process. So instead of her having to spend time each day, you can have a piece of software do that for you.
Okay, so it encourages the customer to share on social media their product purchase, and then it grabs that share and reshares it on your channels.
Yeah, so it sucks all the content only from Instagram at the moment into the tool, and then you select the product if any that you want that content to be displayed on.
Very cool. Okay, cool. So other than Sneeze, OptiMonk, and Klaviyo, any others that you swear by?
Yeah. I'm thinking, not for now. I think those three. Like, I if anybody is not using Klaviyo for their emails after people buy, and you're using something like Aweber, I actually just moved from Aweber to Klaviyo because it's so much more powerful in terms of the segmentation, the things you can do. I think ActiveCampaign is good as well, actually. So that's fine if you're on ActiveCampaign, but I would highly recommend looking at Klaviyo if you're not currently using it.
It's interesting. I'm hearing a lot of debate about them at the moment, about people moving, switching from the likes of AWeber and MailChimp over to either Klaviyo or Drip seem to be the two most popular choices I'm hearing about. But yeah, I do like the Klaviyo piece, I have to say.
I think it's a trend towards more personalized marketing messages. Like, we now want to think that every marketing message we get is just for us. And when you have the power to, say, email people that have added to cart but then not bought, or email people that have only looked at a specific product page saying, would you like to come back and buy this product? That's the sort of stuff you can do when you integrate your Shopify store in Klaviyo. You can't do that with MailChimp, right? And so that's why I think it's better.
And it's amazed me how much, kind of in the last 5 years, the accessibility of powerful email marketing software's become. You know, if I was someone running an email marketing system that had been built 5 years ago, I'd be like, oh God, I wish I'd started it 4 years later. Because building it would have been so much easier. You know, so I think there's a lot of opportunity these days from switching around, because it's on such a big progression curve. But we're about to get into quite a tedious SaaS conversation. And we've got something much more interesting to talk about. So you are on a challenge to get to £100,000 per month.
Correct.
Why?
I think the biggest reason was that when you set a goal and make it public, you kind of just, it's more stressful because you're like, oh, people are expecting me to do this, but it kind of like forces you. It's kind of like throwing the bag over the fence, right? You're like, okay, I actually have to do this now. And so the things you would learn by trying to grow a business's monthly revenue by 20, is going to be immense. But then also, it fed quite nicely into the SaaS tool that we're building, right? Mm-hmm. So if I can grow that store and then tell everybody about how I grew that store, that audience of people are people that want to grow their Shopify stores or their e-commerce stores, which are an ideal audience for our software tool. So it's kind of win-win.
Yeah, it's like whatever happened, you win on one front.
Yes, exactly. And hopefully on two, but it's not actually going that well. We could talk about this, about how it's going so far, if you would like.
Well, that's my next question, because just so everybody knows, we're recording this at the end of May. Mm-hmm. So how many months are you into this, and how's it going?
So I only announced it at the start of April, right? And we had the best month ever in March, or second best month ever, I think, with £5,000. April was a little bit worse. And then May has been rubbish. And the main reason for May being rubbish is I did a rather risky SEO switch. I'll quickly explain the background.
We've been
stitchleggings.com since we started. The search term that if we ranked number one for that would make the biggest difference in our business is just the term meggings, which is like a shortened, it's what people call male leggings, right? And we have consistently ranked between 2 and 4 for the last couple of years. There's a company in the US who started after us, you can tell I'm bitter about this, called Meggings Man. They have meggingsman.com. They're ranked number one, and they're pretty solid there. But I think that with some SEO work, we can get to number one. And so I managed to acquire the domain, meggings.com.
Oh, wow.
For a total of $150 in April.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's a sweet deal. But then... Yeah. So we've actioned the migration. We've redirected all of the, in theory, link juice from stitchleggings.com through to the new site, meggings.com. And now kind of waiting. We've lost all of our rankings. and SEO was 30% of our sales. And now we're sort of waiting for Google to hopefully recognize the fact we had all this lovely link juice on stitchleggings.com and then transfer it and start ranking meggings.com. But it's taking a little bit longer than I hoped. And so I'm going to leave it for a month. And if we don't get back up, then I might switch back. But my SEO guy assures me that we should be back up in 3 weeks now.
Yeah, it's such a nightmare moving URL.
I know.
The process is a nightmare, and then the what will Google do is like just the worst thing in the world.
So we'll see.
Hopefully it's just a waiting game then.
Hopefully it's a waiting game. If not, I might have just completely messed up. But that's fine, because I can share the learnings, and maybe someone else won't make that mistake in the future. So it's actually, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, it's far better to do that at this stage in the challenge than it is to do when you're trying to get from 90 to 100.
Exactly.
That would really hurt.
That's a great silver lining to add onto that cloud. Thank you, Chloe.
I always say, you know, if you're deliberating on a URL change, do it now. Don't do it later. Because the longer you leave it, the worse an idea it becomes. Mm. Okay, so that's the biggest thing to... or the biggest downside or failure, I suppose, of the challenge so far. What's been the biggest success so far?
I think it's been what I'm learning about Facebook ads. Part of the great sales in March were 1.2K spend on Facebook ads, which gave, I think it was like a 2.5x return, which is good. But then we've sort of dropped down in April and May because I'm trying to refine our methodology for Facebook ads. And so I think my learning or our learnings about how to acquire customers properly from Facebook has been the biggest plus. And it's not showing at the moment because budgets are right down. I'm trying to reduce the cost for purchase. Mm-hmm. But if I get that right and I work out a way to scale, I think that's the route to getting up to 10 or 20K per month. And then I'm kind of relying on my business development friend to get us into retail stores to help boost us up some of the rest of the way.
Okay, so so stage one was change the domain name. Mm-hmm. Stage two is really get Facebook ads.
It's kind of happening all at the same time. So the customers are going to come from SEO and Facebook ads probably to get us to the 10, 20K just through the Shopify store. And so I'm just spending my time focusing on them. And then once we have a bigger online presence, it's going to be easier in theory for my partner to go and find retail stores for us to sell through.
Aha. So then the big piece is both getting the units through the retail boutiques, but also getting the brand awareness from that as well, I suppose.
Yes. This is the plan.
Nice. I like the fact that... that you've gone, right, we're going to get to 100K and here's the three things we're going to focus on. Because I know that may, you know, you may get 2 months down the line, you're like, right, oh God, this will only take us to 10. We need to find something else. But I do like the fact you pick three to start with, because I come across a lot of people going, oh, we're going to grow. We're going to do this, and oh, and then don't forget that. And it's like, you know, even if you've got a team of 10, you still don't really have the bandwidth to properly deploy that many ideas. So was it just something that happened naturally, or was it a definite attempt by you and your team just to focus in on three methods?
No, like, I think it's just, I don't want to say common sense. It's like,
you can say common sense.
I think it's like common sense. Like, you only have a certain amount of hours in a day. And they're like, it's not like there's not enough customers on Google or Facebook to get you to that point, right? So if you like the analogy of the light bulb in the room compared to the laser, right? If you take all of the energy in just one normal light bulb and then focus it like a laser, it could, like, burn through rock or metal or steel, right? And so that's the analogy I'd like to use here, is the focus of time and attention.
Okay, I like that. And I think we can all learn a lot from that. The focus of pick just a couple of things to get right rather than try and do it all. Out of all the bits and bobs we talked about, what do you think is the most awesome thing about Stitch leggings at the moment?
The most awesome thing? I quite like the, ever since the start, we've kind of been on this mission. And if you go to the site, the homepage, stitchleggings.com, or meggings.com actually, you'll see that we passed on a mission like right in the middle, like right in front of your face, and it's to enable men to wear what they want as opposed to what they should. And this right from the start really resonated with a certain type of person. That's how we got the people sharing afterwards and helped us grow in the early days. And so what I think is the most awesome thing about us today is we still maintain that character and that mission that so haven't like watered down as we've sold more leggings or got more popular. Like, we've taken the Dragon's Den video and put that on the homepage because it kind of ties into that mission of us going against the convention, against conventional wisdom, and like us getting torn apart by the dragons shows us like martyrs for that cause, right? So that's what I like the most about this business, is we've stayed true to this mission. And I think that's ultimately what's going to really help us to grow, is when we find that type of person who resonates with that story, then they're more emotionally driven to buy.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And so that's That's what I like most about the business in general.
The consistent mission that sits behind and supports everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
I have to say, when I work with businesses that have that clarity, it makes everything, every decision so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, your colleague who's going after the wholesale accounts, you know, just walking down a high street trying to pick the shops to go into to pitch, it's easier if you've got a mission like that, you know? It's, I think that's a great thing to have as awesome right now. You also talk a lot from the videos I've watched about the challenge so far about how you've systematized the business.
Oh, yes. So, I guess a bit more background. I studied chemistry and then went to work in the corporate world in outsourcing. And so we were, for example, working with Vodafone to help them systemize and outsource some of their IT work. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took that learning and implemented that in the leggings company. So we basically released the three founders from doing any kind of routine, mundane tasks and have given them to our virtual assistant manager, who is amazing, by the way, so that we can then focus on the things we enjoy and are best at, right? So I'm doing the growth because I enjoy and I'm best at that. One guy is doing like the business development and then the other guy's doing like the product and finance, right? And that's because of the stuff we enjoy and that's like our most highest value time is invested just in those things.
So all the customer service, pick, pack, dispatch, product fulfillment, that's all dealt with by your VA?
We have a distribution center in Essex, and she's just doing all of the other stuff. But then at the same time with her, we're taking some of the stuff that she used to do and giving that to computers, right? So then she can shift her, like, focus her time on the things that she can do most effectively. And then the mundane stuff is getting passed even further down the chain to the microprocessors.
Hence the creation of Sneeze.
Exactly.
Because that's one of the things, isn't it? There's kind of the different levels of systemization. There's like the right, let's get it so it's bearable. Now let's get it so as it frees up our time to do what we should be doing, which usually means outsourcing to other humans. And then it's like, right, we're going to scale. So how do we then do this even further, which often means bringing in the technology? And I think sometimes people think they have to systemize to the nth degree on day one.
Uh-huh.
So how did you decide what was going to get systemized and when?
If basically, whenever the three of us were doing anything that we thought another person or computer could be doing this, we wrote it down in a spreadsheet, and we just built out this spreadsheet of tasks that we could then prioritize based on how much we didn't like doing them, and whether another human could do them, and what level of skill that human would need. And so, one thing I didn't also mention is I built and sold on a marketplace that connected entrepreneurs with virtual assistants. Mm-hmm. And so basically we just had, I'd spent a lot of time with other businesses working out what they could outsource, right, by helping the clients on this marketplace. And so we basically just did that exercise, found one of the best virtual assistants on the platform and then employed her for the leggings company, and then took that spreadsheet and then filtered it for the 10 tasks that met those criteria and then documented them. And then handed them over.
So given your huge experience, both from getting Vodafone to outsource that right the way down to helping another entrepreneur find the right VA for a small task, and what you've done with Stitch Leggings, necessarily how to go about finding a VA, but what's your process for handing something over to the virtual assistant?
So as part of the content marketing for that marketplace, I developed something called the efficient outsourcing formula.
Oh, nice. Nice name.
It's good, isn't it? 4-step process that I'm going to hit the test to see if I can rattle it off by memory.
Yeah, let's go for it.
And then I can also link to the blog post that outlined everything.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Thank you.
So number one is to understand all of it. Yeah, so it's to be aware of your time and understand all of the tasks that you're doing. So you're really taking a spreadsheet and writing down all of your tasks. And then once you have that list, you can then assess each of them against the criteria. The criteria that we used to use, as I mentioned, was how much do I enjoy this? What skill level is required for this task? and then one other that I can't remember at the moment. So it's to A, get the tasks you're doing, B, prioritize them, and then C, taking a subset of those tasks and then documenting exactly how those tasks are performed. Like, it's best to do it with videos, but you can just do it in a Google document. And then the final part is handing that over. So you then share that document or those videos with the person you're handing it over to. You perform the task with them watching you. That's called forward job shadowing. That's an Accenture term. Mm-hmm. And then you have the person perform the task without you. And then after that, you then watch them performing the task. It's called a reverse job shadowing. And then you just finalize any final things, and then it's theirs. Then you hand that right over. So I believe that's the efficient outsourcing formula. There might be some slight nuances in the official version, but we'll post that below.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Thank you. And I guess it really is a case of invest the time up front, both to decide what you need, to identify what needs outsourcing, and then making sure that training is bulletproof before you carry on.
Exactly.
Okay, it's time for the top tips round. Now, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So, Tom, first up is the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Oh, great question. I think it would be my favorite business book ever is called The Millionaire Fast Lane by MJ DeMarco. And I get put off by like the cheesy title. It's basically this guy who built an internet business and then sold it for many millions. But he kind of just outlines the process that you would go to do that. And he has specific business types, one of which is e-commerce. And then once he outlines the different business types, he just sort of walks you through the process that you would need to do that. And so when I read that book, that really changed everything. That was like 3 years ago. And so almost every business or like everything that I work on now, I filter through kind of his viewpoint and whether it's going to get to the goal of selling the business, which is like, again, don't get me wrong. You don't, that's just what I'm trying to do. You don't necessarily have to go and sell the business, right? But I still think even if you're not trying to do that, it'll be a valuable book to read on a Friday.
I think it's a great book, and I
think you have read it. Awesome.
Yeah, I've read it. It's good. And I might actually, I haven't read it for years though, so I might have to go and pull it out the bookcase again. But I think also, even if you're not planning on selling, it's a good to build your business with an eye to the sale, because it does make you do things in a better way. The traffic top tip then, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I like, obviously, is using, if you have this brand story that a specific type of person connects with, that they go to the site and they understand the mission you're on and they buy emotionally because of this, then by definition, their friends should also, because you make friends with people you're similar to, have a similar mindset. And therefore, anything you can do to get somebody to tell their friends about you after they buy, whether it's online or offline, I think can be invaluable and is a very sustainable way to grow if you can work out some effective ways of doing that.
Okay, excellent. And then the tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
I would choose I only give two. One,
yeah, it's okay. You can have two.
Oh no, actually it's just gonna be one.
Yeah?
So it's a tool called Hotjar, 100% free. You just sign up and then you can basically watch what people are doing on your site. Right? So when this is absolutely massive, I think, for any e-commerce business, like watching people on your product pages, like what they're looking at, what they're clicking at, what they are getting stuck on. You'll have some great learnings, and then you just make some tweaks after you see a certain number of people like messing up at some point, and then that's going to have impacts, big impacts on your conversion rate.
Excellent tool, absolutely brilliant tool. The startup top tip then, if you met someone this weekend who's thinking of starting an e-commerce business, what would be your first tip for them?
I would minimize downside, right? So you have this idea, you think you're going to enjoy and be able to sell this thing. What I would do here's the advice I would give. I'd tell them that I would go and find images of the thing that you're going to, that you think you're going to enjoy and be able to sell. And then I create a free Shopify store. I'd upload the images. I'd run some ads from Facebook, and actually see if A, I can sell, but then B, like stalk the people after they buy, if they buy, and then to see if that's the type of customer that A, you think would buy it, but B, you would sort of enjoy improving their lives of. And so I do that before you spend ages developing the product or going to China to test, right? And if you pass the test, amazing, go ahead. If you A, couldn't sell, or B, you don't like that or that type of person, then I wouldn't do it.
So in that scenario, are you actually going to ship them the product, or do you just cancel the order?
No, so I'd say, like, apologies. So if you're not sure if you're going to continue the business, I would say, like, apologies, we're out of stock. Really sorry. But if you are going to then continue the business, you can say, awesome, thank you so much. We're going to deliver the product in 2 months. If you're not happy with that, 100% give you a refund. If not, you have it in 2 months, and I'll send you something extra.
Got you. Cool. Okay, so Master Plan World, you can find those top tips and links to everything else we've been chatting about in today's episode, including the embarrassing Dragon's Den video, by going to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, where you'll see a link to this very show. Tom, before we say goodbye, would you like to let listeners know where they can find you and Stitch Leggings on the web and social media?
So tomhunt.io is a personal website, and Twitter at tomhunt.io. And then Stitch, as you know, meggings.com. It might not be there for much longer, though. So if you Google Stitch Leggings, you'll find everything that we've ever done on Google.
Okay, excellent. And then, of course, you're also running your SaaS business. Do you want to just remind people about what that is, what it does, and where they can find it?
Yeah, basically, as I mentioned, we started growing the Leggings store because we had this strong mission, and then people were sharing after they bought, and then we take that content and use it on our own channels. And so that used to be our virtual assistant who did all that, but then we tried to put her out of a job by creating Sneeze, even though now we didn't actually put her out of a job. Now she does more higher value tasks. And our Sneeze does that. It follows up with customers, asks them to share, scans the Instagram for the content, drags that into the tool, and then you can do stuff with it. And so you can actually have a completely free account. You just connect your Shopify store, and it's free up to a certain amount of pieces of content displaying on your site. And you can just find that at sneeze.io.
Awesome. Thank you. I will add links to sneeze.io and meggings.com and everything else we've been talking about today in the show notes. Masterplan World, you can find those at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, or just go to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Tom, thanks so much for telling us how the challenge is going and about how you've started all these various businesses on the podcast today. It's been really, really super useful. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Chloe. I really appreciate having me on the show, but also doing, like, well, I didn't mention this, but when I was working at Accenture, I was trying to build a business and leave. So I spent all of my day, like, doing the Accenture work, but also listening to podcasts and stuff that had a massive impact on my, I believe, the outcome, like my ability to leave. So I think doing this and giving away this information for free is very valuable for all the people that listen. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. How generous was Tom there? So much little bits of advice, little ideas, pieces on how to systematize. He's got my brain boggling on ideas. And I thought that one quite nicely follows on from, if you remember back in, I think it was episode 103 with Divine Legs, when Christine was telling us about how she'd launched with this 100 orders in 100 days as a startup target to get those sales going. And I really like the fact that then Tom and his team have gone, right, this is what we're going to try and hit next. And in Christine's case, it was very much try something, as you have to do in those first 100 days. But as Tom's explained to us, you know, if you're going to then go for a doubling, or in his case, a 20xing of the sales, you really do need to have some experience of what works on your site, and then really focus in on those key things, because there are only so many hours in the day at the end of it all. Well, please do let us know what you think of this episode in the Facebook group. Tom's in there. It's at ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook, or search on Facebook for Ecommerce Masterplan World. And I hope if you've enjoyed this episode, you'll share it with your e-commerce friends, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, over a cake and coffee. I really don't mind, but please do spread the word, because I like to get this great content out to as many people as possible. In the meantime, though, have a great week, all of you, and keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.